I speak to you in the name of the one true and living God, whom we name Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of us all. Amen. The kingdom of God is like a man taking a trip on a Greyhound bus. He waits at the stop according to the schedule, and he trusts that the bus will come and stop and pick him up. Once he climbs aboard, he can choose his seat, but he cannot choose who will sit down beside him. When the road starts to twist, and the weather gets bad, and the day fades to darkness, he trusts the driver to know the way and to get the bus safely to its destination. There are rest stops and sometimes changes in vehicles. It's up to him whether he gets back on board on time or he gets left behind. Yes, this week I was traveling by Greyhound coach service to Sorrento for a conference, and the whole trip was one big sermon illustration. When I departed on Monday, it was cold, it was dark, it was far too early, especially for my husband, and I slipped into an empty row and I closed my eyes for just a little more sleep. They were still closed when I felt someone sit down beside me at the Langley Depot. And I played a guessing game. Who was this? Male or female? Young or old? Kindly grandmother or grubby vagrant? I heard whoever it was sniffling, and I thought, oh, great. I just escaped a family with sore throats, and now I'm going to be with a plague carrier for 6 hours. I steeled myself, and I turned to acknowledge my seatmate. Turns out she was a young French woman on a work visa who was traveling up to Revelstoke to take a 3-month position as a shepherd. Really, as in looking after a flock of sheep. She was fascinating. And as we talked, we compared what it was like to be shepherds in different ways. And I got to know Sarah more than a little better during our trip because of an accident on the Coquihalla that shut the highway down for 2.5 hours. There's nothing like being stuck on top of a mountain in the snow to bring people together. There was the laborer with the tubercular cough behind us that we offered water and lozenges to. There was the extended immigrant family that broke out provisions for the grandfather on the oxygen tank and the little children sitting beside them. There was this group of smokers that banded together and walked outside and stood in the snow and shared their woes. But conversations broke out and newly formed groups began getting together while the driver walked down the hill to the scene of the crash to see how bad it was and what our estimated time of stuckness was. Turns out a semi-trailer had jackknifed on the ice and the road was very icy. And he had completely blocked all the northbound lanes and the middle verge and spilled its liquid load all the way down the road. Wisely, our driver had slowed our bus in approaching the site, which must have happened just minutes before. So our vehicle was still on the road, but it was jammed in by all the trucks and the cars that had continued to slide behind us and into the area. Eventually, a large crane on a rescue vehicle had to remove the concrete barriers from the middle of the highway, and one by one, the hundreds that were trapped were able to steer onto the southbound lane and continue north to the next junction to reroute. Remarkably, there was cellular service up there, so both Sarah and I were able to use my phone to text the people waiting for us. And finally, we were on our way with the grace of God and a really good driver. We would get to where we were headed at some point. So many little things can remind us of the kingdom of God and our journey toward it. The reign of Christ is not here yet, but we can glimpse it. As Louise Peters, the director of Sorrento Center and a recent retreat leader for our diocesan clergy, puts it, the kingdom of heaven is all of this, about all of that. It's not a black and white situation. It's not never going to happen, and it's not a done deal. The kingdom of God is unfolding. And today we celebrate that sometimes we can be aware of God's purpose behind it all as it opens up to us. In the dialogue that we heard this morning from John's Gospel between Pilate and Jesus, we get a sense of our own journey towards understanding the kingdom of God in its fullness. It begins with a question that is put to Jesus by the Roman governor. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate is starting from the place that all of us start, from his own beliefs, his politics, his ethnicity, his upbringing, his assumptions, and his prejudices. And it's a loaded question. And he may not expect any answer at all, or he may discount any answer he gets. But Pilate asks it anyway. The possibility that Jesus might see himself as a king, that he might be a king, opens the door to possibilities. If Jesus is a king, what is he king of? Is he the king of the Jews? Is he the king of Pilate? What? Jesus, in true rabbinic style, answers him with a question of his own. Do you ask this on your own? In other words, he challenges Pilate to identify his motivation. Are you really seeking the truth? Are you a pawn in the midst of the religious authorities' battle over authority? Or is your heart so hardened by cynicism and disappointment that you really don't expect me to answer you? Is Pilate ready to move to a deeper level with Jesus? Is he ready to trust him in an honest conversation, to reveal his desire and his need to know? But Pilate shies away from defining himself in the place from which he speaks. Instead, he goes to the negative. I'm not a Jew, am I? And it's interesting that in the face of the one who is the embodiment of the great I am, as Jesus is the Son of God, Pilate says who he is not. He's outside of this strange argument about God's kingdom. He doesn't see how it could possibly touch him. Yet the reign of Christ begins when an individual recognizes that this event has meaning for him or her. Christ's presence is for me and for who I am because of who he is. But Pilate, as the outsider, pushes aside the question of being in favor of doing. What have you done? Pilate asks. And there's an implication that Jesus has done something so wrong, it's brought him into deathly conflict with Jerusalem and with Rome. The Jewish authorities have delivered him to the government to be punished for blasphemy, and they're urging the ruling empire to sentence him to death for insurrection. But the deeper truth that we catch as Christian readers is that God's been doing something astounding through Jesus. It's something so right that the world hasn't seen it. They can't see that trajectory for salvation. And Pilate and Jesus are using the same word, but they're using it very, very differently. The word kingdom. Pilate's experience of king or emperor is all about power. It's credentialed. It's asserted over others. It comes with the threat of harm or of resources given or taken, depending on the will of the one in charge. It's about getting and it's about holding on to the here and now. But the kingdom of God in Jesus' terms is radically different. It's not realized yet. In the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives us, we ask that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And this kingdom doesn't grow out of wealth or of might or of right in the world. It comes from beyond. And it's not going to break in by violence. It only will come with invitation. And Pilate, like us, wrestles with the absurdity of this kind of dominion. So you are a king? It may have been said with a sneer. But I also wonder whether his heart, like ours, is finally speaking with a yearning for the truth. And Jesus' response is an affirmation of all of this. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And there our gospel reading for this morning ends. But go home and pick up your Bible and look up the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 38. That's the question before each of us. And each of us has to go about finding the answer to it in our own way. And if you believe there is truth here, there is a bus called the Christian Way, and it stops right outside your doorstep. You can decide to get on it. Now, you don't get to choose who else climbs on board. You may not like them much, but you're stuck with them, and they're stuck with you. And the journey will be uncomfortable. The bumpy parts of the road will shake up your assumptions and they'll destroy your planned schedule. But it doesn't matter how long it takes to get there. It doesn't even matter whether there are other buses that may be traveling in similar directions on different roads. What's important is that you trust this bus and this driver. And you trust the destination. Everything in between is an adventure. And there's some truth, I think, in this. Amen.